Let me say it's good to see the McIntoshes back there. They've been out sick and had a lot of things they've been through, but I see them sitting back there today. It's a joy to have them in the house of God with us. Amen. Amen. Well, we heard some good advice about those phone calls we get, how to get rid of them. So every once in a while, sometime or other, you may hit somebody that might be interested and could help lead them to Jesus. What a joy that would be. Amen. I want to try to pick up on a series I've been on, and I don't know, I just feel led of the Lord to do so. Pray God to help us. I want you to find John chapter 6 after you find John 20. John chapter number 6. If you'll stand, please, while I read the Word of God. John chapter number 20, verse number 30. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Notice what he said in verse 31. These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And then that ye might have, believing ye might have life through his name. I want to say hallelujah for life through his name. What a blessing. John chapter 6, verse number 15. When Jesus therefore perceived they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into the mountain himself alone. And when evening was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Let's bow our heads, please, for a word of prayer. Father, I want to say thank you for the day. Thank you, Lord, for the sweet spirit. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for speaking to our hearts. Lord, we can trust Jesus. Lord, today we need you to help us. And Father, I know these folks here in this house that have prayed for things that they've seen happen recently. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for what you've done. I thank you today, God, that we come together like this and sit in the house of God, worshiping together. Then, Lord, as we come time for preaching, and I need you to illuminate my mind, loose my tongue. And I pray, Heavenly Father, help me preach from my heart, my very being. God, I pray the power of God be upon us. Then, Father, for those that are here that know not the Lord Jesus Christ, need to get saved, born in the family of God, I pray the Holy Ghost bring conviction, draw them unto yourself and save. Then those that may be out of the will of God, grown cold, indifferent, backslid, need help, I pray you'd help. Father, help all of us be revived in our hearts and stirred afresh and anew about the love of God. Lord, as Sister Christmas run over with that, how much she loved you, help us, God, to realize how much you did for us and how we need to run over with that love of God in our hearts. Thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're talking about some signs in the book of John, miracles that Jesus did, and showing the way of salvation and also the results of salvation. three show the how of salvation, three show the results of salvation. One we just talked about Wednesday night on sharing the bread of life. When Jesus fed the 5,000, we talked about that. We talked about Jesus turning water to wine in Cana. And those six dry water pots speaks of man's cold and empty heart. But when they filled them up with water, the Word of God, on top of the Word of God, God did a work in their hearts. And they got, that water did a work in that water. I'm glad God takes His Word and does a work in our hearts. We're saved by the Word of God. Being born again, not incorruptible seed, but incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth in the body forever. Then we talked about the fact of that nobleman that come down from Capernaum, and he trying to find some help for his son. And then he believes the Word of God. Jesus said he lives, and the Bible said he believed that. Next day going back, he didn't go running home to see if it happened. He believed it when God said it. We're saved by faith. Aren't you glad? Amen. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, ties together. So you got to believe about Jesus before you get saved. Somebody said, can you be saved not believing the resurrection? No, you cannot be saved. And not believing the virgin birth, not believing the resurrection, not believing the death at Calvary, not believe that he's the Son of the living God, you cannot be saved without believing the truths of the Word of God. And then we talked about the fact of the man by the pool of Bethesda, and he, by grace, God, Jesus came by his way, healed him, and he went on his way rejoicing and found in the house of God. I'm glad that God saves us by the Word. We hear the Word and then believe the Word, and the grace of God does a work in our hearts by salvation, by faith, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior. I'm glad I'm saved today. Miss Christmas running over today about her salvation, and rightfully so. We all should think about how much God has loved us, how much He did for us, and praise His name and thank Him for it. Today, I'm not really sure exactly how I'm going to approach this and what I'm going to do with it, but I've looked at it, I've prayed over it, and my heart is moved in what I'm about to share with you today about the results of salvation. And I'm glad you normally get saved, but there's some results of salvation that's given to us in these signs, in these miracles. Let me look at verse number 15, John chapter 6. Keep your Bibles open there. We're going to be looking at these verses and trying to share just a few thoughts with you here this morning. And we're talking about the peace that God brings, by the way. Somebody said the world's working on having peace. There'd be no peace till the peace gets here. The man of peace, Jesus Christ. There'll be no peace on earth until the Prince of Peace comes and reigns from Jerusalem. But let me say this today. There'll be no peace in your life as far as being unsaved. There'll be no peace until you really come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm glad, thank God, He brings peace. Thank God He does. You can trust Jesus, and I'm glad that you can. But look in verse 15. When Jesus therefore received, they would come and take Him by force to make Him a king. Now, He is king, but he wasn't going to be crowned king of the Jews at that time because they're going to reject Him. And He knew that, and He knew He had to go to Calvary. But it says He departed again into the mountain Himself alone. I want to talk about Calvary just a minute. When Jesus went to Calvary, he went at one time there at Calvary, He was alone. And I've thought about that so very much. I don't believe you can find anywhere that Jesus was ever alone except at Calvary. The only place you ever find that He was alone. Now, He might have been by Himself. I know He's talking about indirect scripture here. He's talking about it by Himself personally. He went to a mountain and prayed, and we know that, but I'm talking about being alone. Here it says He went alone. I'm talking about Calvary. Mount Calvary is the only place I can find that Jesus ever was really totally alone. All the rest of the time, the Father was with Him, and the Father guided Him, or people were around Him. And he was praying here as he went up there. It's speaking alone as far as physical. There he prayed to the Father and was not alone. But on the cross of Calvary, when Jesus died, and I can't get over this, this verse, what it says there and what it says over in Isaiah 53, when it said it pleased the Father to bruise him. I can't get over that. It pleased God, the Father, to bruise his Son. Why? So he could save me. Because he loved me. He loved me enough that he died for me. And I can't get a hold of all of that, but I know that he did that. And I praise his name and give him glory. But how to express it, I don't know how. But then here on the cross of Calvary, my sin was imputed to him. And as he took my sin, was made my sin. The Bible said from 12 o'clock noon until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, God cut the lights out. The sun didn't shine. I don't believe the birds sung a song. I don't believe anything around Calvary was doing anything but wondering what's going on. It's the middle of the day and it's black dark and we can't see anything. But on the cross, Jesus made a cry. And he cried and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Only place I ever find that he was totally alone. I mean, the Father forsook him, men forsook him, everybody around him. I realize his mother still loved him. I realize all that. But as far as being with him, and at that moment of time, there was nobody with him because he was suffering my hell. He was paying my price. He went in the depth of something that I will never know. I cannot express it to you, but I know today that Jesus took my place. And I know he's separated from God the Father, so I never will have to be separated from God the Father. Took my place, and I say hallelujah today. And I don't have to ever be separated from God. I'm his child, he's with me. And when if I have to leave this world today, I drop over in this pulpit. I want you to know I'll not be separated from God. I shall be with him. Hallelujah. And I praise God and thank God for the reality. He was alone. But notice, if you will, please, in verse 16. And when evening was now come, his disciples went down into the sea. I'm thinking about mankind now. Jesus dying on the cross of Calvary for our sin, taking our place. But man always goes down. And men went down when they sinned in the garden. And man goes down. Man tries to pick himself up and says, I'll find something to help you. And we'll send you someplace and get you dried out. And we'll help you some way down out there. And if you attend all these meetings, and we'll help you. Let me tell you today, there's a better solution than what man's got. Man tries to psychologically get it all up here. But I tell you where your real problem is down here. Hey, man, you have a problem with drugs? I want you to know today the problem's not up here. It's down here. If you have a problem with drinking, it's not up here. It's down here. If you have a problem with sex, it's not up here. It's down here. If you have a problem with any kind of sin that has a grip on you, it's not in your head. Might have started in the head and it got down to the heart. But the heart problem is really what needs to get fixed. And Jesus can fix the heart. Amen. I'm glad for that. Now I've said all that. Let's turn. In my Bible, I turn a page. I don't know about you, but look at verse 17. In verse number 17. I said I didn't know how I was going to approach this. I knew about what I did just right now, but kind of that way. But I'm looking at it kind of in a different situation now. In verse 17, and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus had not come to them. I want to say this today and use this as a type and a picture of that ship, of old ship Zion. And these disciples went down, and man goes down. But I'm glad, thank God, there's a ship of salvation that we can get on. There's a ship we can board. And you remember that song that says, oh, ship of Zion, and cried, get on board. I want you to know one day, thank God, I got on board. And not by myself, the Holy Ghost helped me get there. Amen. I couldn't get there by myself. But the Holy Ghost put out a gangplank and let me come, amen. I say hallelujah for the ship of Zion and the picture of the church. And we're on a sea now. And here's where I'm really trying to think about in my own heart today. And went over to see toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus had not come to them. The rapture's not taken place yet. I have looked for the rapture since I've been saved. I have expected Jesus to come and take me out. When we hit the year 2000, I thought surely we were very close to it. Then the year 2001 came, 2005, 2010. And now we're 2011, soon being 2012. If Jesus doesn't come, well, preacher, do you still believe he's coming? I still believe he's a coming. I still believe he's a coming. He said, if I go away, I will come again. Now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven, pleading my case. And he said, I'll come back and get you. I believe he'll do exactly what he said. And he's not going to, and hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie. If God can't lie about eternal life, he can't lie about anything. He wouldn't be God if he told a lie. And he said, I am coming back. And they talked about that blessed hope of the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he said they got on the sea and the storm came. And in the storm, he said it got dark. And I want you to know tonight, sometimes it gets real dark. There's things that happen in our lives that break our hearts. There's situations that we all go through. We're not the Lone Ranger. You're not the Lone Ranger. Other people go through things, and somebody said, why am I going through this? Why not me? I'm no better than anybody else. You're no better than anybody else. And we have disappointments, and it gets dark. And troubles come and they roll in on us. But I'm glad they sung that song today.
Amen.
Because you can still trust Jesus. When it looks like everything else is falling apart, you can still look and say, I trust him. I'm glad, thank God, there's somebody that understands our hearts. Knows all about us physically, spiritually, emotionally. Everything that's going on, everything that's happening, and these things that you weep over, things that you care about. You want to do something, but there's no place to go, no place to hide, no place except with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad, thank God, with him, I can find a hiding place. There's a place somewhere in the Rock of Ages that I can crawl in. And he said, I'll be with you all the way. I'll never forsake you. And he said, you can trust me. It'll be all right. And I say today, thank God I can trust him. When everything else is wrong, I can still trust him. Amen. I say today, friend, there's people here today, as you're going through hard times, you're going through difficult times, you have things you're struggling with, things you don't know the answer to. I want to report to you, thank God Jesus knows the answer. He's the answer for everything, amen. If we'd only just trust him like we should. Notice he said it's now dark, and it's dark in this world. Hey, this world's so full of darkness. Brother Tim was telling me a while ago, and others, I heard him talking about it, up in North Carolina, his son's gone to live with his grandmother up there. He's got a job, but his grandmother had already left for church, and he was in the house and heard somebody down in the basement, and somebody broke out a window and broke into the house, and I think Michael went to get his gun. They saw somebody run, but he's kind of like Miss Christmas. He's going to shoot somebody. Well, I guess that's what you do when they break in your house. That's one way to stop it. Amen. But anyway, I was thinking about that. The dark world, sinful world, they break in while you go to church. We've had things stolen out of the parking lot, out of cars. We've had things like that happen, but yet a lot of churches had a lot of things worse happen to them, what's happened here. I thank God for his goodness to us, but what I'm saying is I remember a time when nobody would even have thrown a piece of trash on the churchyard, much less a beer can. Nobody would have would have ever thought about going to church and not listening and not, they wouldn't have thought about going to church and having some kind of a play pretty to play with while the preacher preached. They'd never thought about that. They went to worship God. They went to hear from heaven. Amen. They didn't go to put on a show. They didn't go to see what everybody else was doing or wearing or what the gossip, latest gossip was. They went to worship the living God. Our world is dark today. Our world is dark. On every hand, sin rages. But I'm glad, thank God, they still one we can trust that can help us. Now look with me in verse 18. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. And the winds are blowing against the church. You take an old-fashioned church with an old-fashioned preacher, old-fashioned choir, and worshiping God in an old-fashioned way, and the wind blows against her. They make fun of you. They'll say that they're the kind of crowd down there that's kind of ignorant, and they don't know too much, and they don't know how to get modern. The preacher still wears a tie in the pulpit. Well, my goodness, and we more casual than that, and come as you are, and you know, and the preacher, he comes in a t-shirt or something, kind of a something, and tie don't make a preacher, I know that, but I come to the house of God to worship a living God. If I was going to go in to see the president, I want to put a tie on. Amen. Or at least dress up. It may not be a tie, but at least, If I'm preaching, I'd want a tie. But even if you're just sitting in the pew, you want to at least look decent. Somebody mentioned this recently about some fellas wear their breeches down to their knees. I've seen some fellas, I thought if I could get me a rope and tie it around their breeches and pull them up about 2 feet, they could walk better. I've got suspenders on. I'd hate to have to run around holding my britches up. Afraid they're going to fall down. I'd rather keep them up, amen. But listen to what he said. Verse 19, so when they had rowed about 25 and 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. We talk about the rapture, but let me ask you a question today. If Jesus came right now, would you be afraid? If Jesus came right now, would you be afraid to meet him? Is your life so lived that you can meet Jesus with a shout and glory in your soul? Would you be ashamed that he's coming? I'm glad, thank God, we can live a life by the grace of God, by his help, that we don't have to be ashamed at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he said this. He said, don't be afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land where they went. Immediately the ship was at the land where they went. When Jesus comes, old ship of Zion's going to land immediately where we're going. Amen. Hallelujah. Won't be no not checking out Mars on the way by. Won't be no looking around. We're going to be immediately at the place where we're going. I say hallelujah. I'm glad, thank God, he's a-coming. And said he's going to walk. Hey, those things that worry us to death and we get burdened under, Jesus just walks on top of. Hallelujah. What we think we're sinking under, he's walking on top of. And I say glory to God. And the Lamb forever, he said, I'm coming to get you. And the world's not going to stop him. And I don't care what power it is, who's president, what's going on in the world. And they're not going to stop Jesus from coming and getting old ship of Zion. And we're going to land on the other side. As soon as he comes, we're going to land on the other side immediately. Glory, hallelujah. Are you going with us? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Now, I'm going to give you something while you got your heads bowed, eyes closed. I want you to think about. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have peace with God. Then the Philippians talks about having the peace of God. You can be saved and be at peace with God as far as your salvation is concerned, but you don't have the peace of God in your heart because it's in turmoil. There's some sin been let in, or there's fretting inside. There's something going on. You need help. I need help. May God help us to realize we can have that peace of God, that peace of all understanding man, if we let God help us. Father, I pray you take the message, speak to hearts, do what you want to do with it. In Jesus' name, amen.